The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this December 4th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Lots to get to on the show today. Happy early National Signing Day. Yes, it is a big, big day in Auburn. Talking Auburn football recruiting as National Signing Day is here, right? You've got all sorts of action going on with Auburn in terms of the 2025 class. There's some good news. There's some bad news. We're going to get to all of that on the show today. Plus, Auburn basketball is in another big-time matchup on the road at Cameron Indoor Stadium. Yes, taking on the Duke Blue Devils tonight on the road in the SEC-ACC Challenge, a contest that was dominated by the Southeastern Conference last night. 9-1 was the record of teams in that one. So lots to get to on that, plus more football. We're also going to talk to Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, get his thoughts on Georgia's signing day, and also talk about the SEC Championship game as they take on Texas this weekend in Atlanta. And then it is Double D Wednesday. That's right, Daryl Dappert from Locked On Auburn is going to be with us as well, talking Auburn basketball, talking Auburn football, wrapping up the Iron Bowl, wrapping up the season, National Signing Day. Lots to get to here on the show. As you can probably tell, I'm still dealing with whatever it is that I've had sick-wise over the last couple of days. Starting to get energy back, feeling much, much better. Don't sound better. Still a little stuffed up, and I've pushed my voice pretty much to the limit. Back-to-back nights of high school basketball for Auburn High has really put a strain on it, but we're going to do our best, and it's a big day for to be on the radio. And so outside of our two guests, though, phone line is open. We've been kind of shutting it down to start the show, but it is open today. On a day like today, I do want to hear from you on National Signing Day. 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to me. 334-321-1390. You can always text the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. What are your thoughts? How do you feel about Auburn's 2025 class so far? Not everybody has signed. A lot of the recruits have gotten it done out of the way. I mean, there was a lot of kids. I was kind of surprised by this. There were a lot of them who woke up and at 6 a.m. sharp, they were like, all right, I'm ready. That's when you could start. That's when you could sign, right? They were like, all right, I'm getting this thing done, signed, sealed, delivered, and out of the way. And so there were a lot of those this morning. They've been going on all day long, and they're still going on into the afternoon. You've got some coming up tomorrow. You have some on Friday. Of course, there are some that will wait until later on. But overall, I want to know your feelings on Auburn's National Signing Day class at this point. I know, again, there's still some out there that are going to hopefully sign with Auburn, but that's not a guarantee, right? Nothing is a guarantee. That's what you've learned today, is it not? I mean, that is something that we have learned to this point, is nothing is guaranteed. And my goodness, how different it is in 2024, 2025. I guess I'll say it this way. How different it is for the 2025 class compared to any other class in history. More than ever before, there are no guarantees in recruiting. There is nothing for certain. And until that pen hits the paper, and even then, right, it's not 100%, but you feel good about it. Until that pen hits paper, nothing is for certain. And you saw that today with a couple of players, not just for Auburn, but across the country. And I know there are some disappointed Auburn fans out there. There are some Auburn football fans who are excited about what has happened today, but maybe not as excited as you thought you were going to be. And maybe you think it's good right now, just not as good as we thought it would be, right? According to 247, and again, you can use whatever site you want, but that's the one that I use, it's the one I like, and it's the one I'm rolling with here. I love the work that they do with Christian Clemente and Jason Caldwell in terms of recruiting. Right now, Auburn in 2025 has the sixth overall class in the country, ranked number six right now. A couple of five stars, okay? Here's everybody that has signed so far today. Gonna read them out. There's still several guys that Auburn is going after, a couple of guys who have committed, who have not signed yet, and guys that Auburn still could go after and are still going after that have yet to sign anywhere yet or have their signing ceremonies, okay? So, starting from the top and working our way down. And again, give me a call. I want to hear from you. Shoot me a text as well. You can call me at 334-321-1390 or text me at 334-784-1067. Five-star Jarrett Smith, the edge from Thompson. Saw him in person. He's going to be really good. The five-star, he has signed with Auburn. Malik Autry, the five-star defensive line, he has signed. Deuce Knight, this was a big one, right? This was one that Auburn worked on very, very hard. Depending on where you look, four or five-star, right? He's a mix, if you will, a flex of a four or five-star. Auburn's quarterback of the future, right, is what they're hoping. With Deuce Knight, 6'5", 206 pounds, he has signed with Auburn. Anquan Fagans and Eric Winters, the safety pair, one from Thompson, the other from Enterprise. Both of them as four stars, have signed with Auburn. Ja'Caleb Falk, we know that name, right? Joining his brother, he has signed as a four-star linebacker. Jordan Crawford from Parker up in Birmingham, he has signed as a four-star defensive line. This was another big one. Derek Smith, the wide receiver from Southside. Huge get for Auburn. They obviously were there. They were in it. They were they've been on this for quite some time. But it just feels more than ever before, right, with this era of recruiting, even for somebody that's been committed for a long time and guys that have just vocalized they love Auburn and how much they want to be here, it's still a sigh of, you just have such a sigh of relief if you're Hugh Freeze or the coaching staff or for fans, right? It's a sigh of relief when they finally sign the papers and they send them in and everything becomes official. I think Derek Smith is a guy like that, right? You've got Antonio Coleman is in there as the four-star defensive lineman. Blake Woodby is in there, signed as a four-star corner. Alvin Henderson, the state all-time Alabama leading rusher in high school football, has signed with Auburn, the Elba running back. Looking forward to seeing what he does at that level, at the next level, right? And nothing against what he's done down there, right? He has done historic things at Elba, but that is against very low-level, I guess low-classification talent in high school football. I mean, you're talking the lowest classification. Doesn't mean they're bad. Doesn't mean there's not good talent. There's just not as much of it. So I am curious on what Alvin Henderson is going to become here at Auburn during his time. I think another big pickup out of Georgia was Hollis Davidson, the tight end who signed very early this morning, the four-star tight end. Could be a key piece for Auburn's offense in the future if everything works out the way that it's supposed to. Bryce Dees, the Maryland linebacker, the four-star. Auburn got him today. How about that one? That was a surprise that Auburn was able to pick up. Elijah Melendez, as we start to get into the three-stars here. Elijah Melendez, the three-star linebacker from Florida. Darian Smith, three-star D lineman from Maryland. Broderick Scholl, the offensive tackle. Sam Turner, a wide receiver from Georgia. That was one Auburn has worked on for quite some time. 6'1", 195 pounds. They get that three-star to sign. How about Ryan Gee? Huh? How about that one? That was a big one. Another tight end that Auburn was able to bring in. Cale Ellis, Ty Buster. Working down just a few more here. Jacoby Ward, Eric Smith, right? The brother of Derek. Eric is the wide receiver at 6'6", 190 pounds. It's really cool to get both wide receiver brothers in the door. One's a four, one's a three. So they will be coming together. And then there's this one. At the very bottom, John Allen McGuire from Thompson, the punter. Yes, the three-star punter from Thompson. And let me tell you something. He's listed at 6'2", 205 pounds. He's every bit of that, if not more, during, or I guess before, Auburn High's quarterfinal game at the Duck this year, just a few weeks ago. Don't want to talk about it, but I will. I watched this kid. I stood on the field in pregame warmups. I stood about 5 yards, 10 yards away from him and watched him punt in warmups. This kid's legit. John McGuire is legit as a punter out of Thompson. I mean, heck, he's going to be playing in the state championship game tonight. So he's pretty good, man. That's a big signee for Auburn. And so out of all those names, right, the highlights are, of course, at the top. With the Jared Smith, I think that's a huge one. Late pushes by several folks on that one. Malik Autry, that's one who's been committed to Auburn for quite some time. He did his signing today at Opelika right here in town. And then Deuce Knight, I think, is the one that you were always concerned about for a guy that, yeah, he flipped and bounced around and things like that. It's just, again, man, a day like today has gotten so much more stressful, so much more complicated because of the NIL situation. And there are going to be people that say, oh, don't blame it on the money. You'd do the same thing. You're right. I would. I would sell out for a lot of money. And the type of money we're talking about with some of these situations is pretty insane. Pretty insane. But at the same time, it doesn't take away how stressful this all is. And so with that, Auburn has been put in some great situations with great players, right? They've gotten some major flips today and throughout this last couple of months. But they've also missed on a couple of big-time players as well, right? And I think that's where Auburn fans, unfortunately, are focusing their attention. And the big one, the big two, is Zion Grady and Naeem Offord. Zion Grady stays home. He goes to Ohio State. Auburn thought they had a really good chance to get Zion Grady to commit and come to Auburn and get away from Ohio State. Auburn also felt really, really good about Naeem Offord until late last night, early this morning. And things started changing, as they typically do, right? As they typically do. And late last night and into this morning, it started to change. And not only did he not come to Auburn, and he didn't even keep his... He did flip. That prediction was right. Yeah, that prediction was right. Offord did flip from Ohio State. He just didn't flip to Auburn like they thought he was going to. He fooled everybody. And he's going to go play for Dan Lanning and the Oregon Ducks, is Naeem Offord. And so, out of the top 10, we got a phone call we're going to get to in just a second here. Of the top 10 players in the state of Alabama for 2025... Auburn officially signs 8 of the top 10. The only two they missed out on was Naeem Offord, the number one player who goes to Oregon, and Zion Grady, the four-star edge who sticks with Ohio State. Let's get to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. You're on the line. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, man, this is Ed. How are you doing?
I'm good, Ed. How are you?
I'm doing good. Hey, listen, as far as I know we missed, I thought Offord might come, but you know, I knew it was a long shot. But in my opinion, I think we did very well in holding on to Deuce and Jared Smith. I know a lot of, you know, South Carolina, mm-hmm. Ole Miss was both on him heavy. I think we did really good, you know. And, it's hard to get everybody. And so far, as far as the transfers, they hadn't been, you know, I don't know. You hate to lose anybody, but I don't think they've been that bad. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I mean, Camden Brown announced yesterday that he planned to enter. That's probably the biggest one so far, Ed. But I think other than that, so far to this point, I don't think the transfers that Auburn has lost have been anything crazy.
Have you heard the rumors that that Ole Miss is in touch with Cam Coleman?
I have not heard that. I mean, They may be, they may not be. But
hey, do not quote me on that. That's just rumors.
That's right. You know. That's right.
Yep. All right. Thanks, bud.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Ed. No, I haven't heard it, and I won't take you up on that. I don't know. If they have, cool. If not, from what I've been told from sources very close to the situation, is Cam's not going anywhere, so I'm not going to worry about that. But I'm with you, Ed. I think Auburn should be happy with what they've done in this 2025 class. And again, it's not done. It's not done. And like he said it really well right there. It's hard to get them all. And it's harder now than it's ever been before. Take Naeem Offord, for example, to get back to that situation before we get to break. Naeem Offord was an Ohio State guy for a long, long time. And then Auburn made a super, super hard push because Auburn felt like they had a lot to offer him. They felt like he could be the best here. He would become really, really good here. They could get him to the league. And let's just say what it is. Auburn was going to pay him good money. They were. Auburn was going to pay him good money to come here. They felt good about it. Everybody predicted him to flip from Ohio State. Everybody predicted him to flip from Ohio State. They just thought he was going to flip to Auburn. And here comes Dan Lanning and the Oregon Ducks. There is no concrete number that's been reported. There has not been a single concrete number that has been reported on this. But the numbers that are being rumored and thrown around are absolutely insane. Insane. Naeem Offord's a great kid. He's a great player. He's going to be a superstar in college and playing on Sundays. But to pay somebody that much money in hopes that they work out for a corner, nonetheless. And corners are very important. Top five important positions on the football field. But the type of numbers they're throwing around, it's unbelievable. And it goes back to what so many of you have made the argument about. You're paying a kid before he ever takes a snap. Before he ever steps on the field in college. Just to sign the piece of paper. Just to put your hat on and step on campus. It's crazy how this game has changed, man. It's a whole new world. And whether we like it or not, I say this every time this conversation comes up, whether you like it or not, you better adjust, and you better get over it. I've had to do the same, because this is the new way. I don't think it can last forever, but my goodness, the way it's going right now is truly insane. One more thing before we get to break. Auburn signs 8 of the top 10 out of the state of Alabama. They sign 9 of the top 12, because you include Alvin Henderson, who's the 12th ranked player in the state of Alabama. That's not bad. That's really good. You know who didn't sign a single top player from the state? Alabama. Alabama's top-ranked player in the state of Alabama is number 15 at Micah DeBose, who's a great player, offensive tackle, 4-star. What does that say about what Auburn's done? While Hugh Freeze focused on this state, he didn't just win it. Folks, he dominated it. And Auburn fans should be happy about that. Let's take our first break. Here in hour number one, give me a call. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We got a couple of texts we're going to read when we come back in the On the Line text box. Just underway here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
Hey, this is your resident Super Bowl champ, Chris Kennedy from Unsportsmanlike, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line. On ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
We continue on here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, and got a few more minutes before we take our bottom of the hour break. Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 will be joining us, as he does every Wednesday, even though it is a busy day in Athens with the signing day going on and the SEC championship game and all that stuff this weekend. Going to get him on. A great time to have Jordan Hill join us in just a few minutes. But Wanted to get to the text box, the On the Line text box, 334-784-1067. Side note, Georgia last night beat down Notre Dame. Did you guys see that? 69-48. Unbelievable. Georgia was favored by 8.5, and they covered it by a lot. So we'll talk to Jordan about that, too, in just a little bit. But got a text in the On the Line text box, 334-784-1067, and it says, is there any change? Is there any coaching change rumors? Need an OC? I'm tired of the trick plays and the ignorance of not running the football. In terms of coaching changes for Auburn, I'm going to be really honest. I don't know because I haven't seen anything. And my guess here, I have not seen anything. To answer your question, no, I have not seen anything or heard many rumors. But to be completely honest on why that is, think about what the last 2 weeks have been, right? Think about what the last couple of weeks have been. Auburn upsets Texas A&M, right? Everything's riding high. Everybody's feeling good about themselves. You go in to Thanksgiving week where classes are out for the students and you're trying to keep everybody here and you're trying to keep them focused and locked in and you've got, you know, a lot of the community things that the team does and a big team family Thanksgiving and things like that. And then you travel up to the Iron Bowl and then you lose to Alabama. All right, well, that was on Saturday. Here we are just 3 days later and it's signing day. This is National Signing Day. So all your focus as a coaching staff for the last, I don't know, 72 plus hours has been locking down the 2025 class. You haven't had time to have those conversations with players or coaches or anything like that. I mean, some of the players, in terms of their announcements to enter the transfer portal, that's because they already knew. And that's because they probably already had those conversations. Let's just be real. They probably had those conversations with those certain players several weeks ago. And Hugh Freeze told us that he doesn't even handle most of those, that his staff does. But in terms of the coaching question with coaching changes, and a lot of people are in the same boat to find a new offensive coordinator, I have not seen anything. But that does not mean stuff is not in the works. That does not mean it won't happen. I just think all the focus went to, I hope it did, went to the Iron Bowl, and now has gone to signing the 2025 class. Once today is done and this week is done, I think you'll probably start to see some movement in terms of the offensive side of the football, and I would think on the special team side as well, because that was horrific this year. I mean, some of the worst special teams I think I've ever seen at Auburn, a place that we've been able to hang our hat on that. Like, in terrible times at Auburn, we've at least had a kicking game, right? And my goodness, but it hasn't just been kicking. It's field goals, punting, punt returns, kickoff returns. I mean, coverage. I mean, it's been terrible. So my guess is once this week is done, then Auburn will focus on the coaching side of things. And whether there's changes or not, who knows? But I agree that something needs to change. I think something has to happen with the offensive staff, whether that is find a new coordinator, Hugh Freeze either go all in or all out in terms of play calling, because that's the question that we've all been asking and wondering was, okay, last year we knew Freeze was trying to be hands off. And then as the season went on, he got more involved. This year, he said he was fully involved and they made the game plan and they walked him through it and he had the override switch and all these types of things. So by the end of it, right, we're sitting around and we're saying, well, man, whose idea was that? Like, after every play, it's like, man, who the heck called that? Who called a play in the Iron Bowl to let Jarquez Hunter throw the football down the field? And no disrespect to 27, but come on, man. Come on. Whose idea was it to quit running the ball? Who said, oh, Jarquez Hunter's averaging 5 yards a carry. Let's just not give it to him. There's nobody to blame. There's nobody to ask because we don't know whose call it was. And it may have been somebody different every single time. You can't function that way, man. An offense won't work when you've got several people involved in changing things up time and time again. So, hope I answered your question. I hope there's some changes coming. And I think Auburn fans feel the exact same way. All right, coming up, Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. We'll talk to him about the Georgia Bulldogs as they get ready for the SEC Championship game, plus their signing day success or lack thereof, and basketball as well. Jordan Hill joins us next.
On the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz. And we get to the phone lines, we welcome in Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, covering all things Georgia athletics for the 24/7 sports site. Busy day for you in Athens, huh, Jordan?
Oh, yeah, it never stops, Jacob, and especially with the SEC Championship week to boot for Georgia. But it's been a productive day for Georgia to this point. I think there's a few more guys they're still waiting on, and one big name they're going to be waiting on past Wednesday. But all in all, a pretty productive Wednesday for the Bulldogs.
Well, I know better than to ask you if you're going to be going to the SEC Championship game in Atlanta. I'm sure you will be there in person and covering that, and we're going to talk about that coming up in just a little bit. But in terms of this signing day that we've experienced and witnessed today, I mean, what a crazy world and a change and a difference it is just in the last 5 years, Jordan, of how signing day goes, right? You have so much. Years ago, you'd have so much confidence. You could almost predict. You'd have one or two big main flips, but now it seems to change by the hour. And unfortunately, here in Auburn, we've seen that happen, but it's just crazy how it's changed over the years.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those things where it's kind of funny to try to think back to how it used to be. I feel like you had a lot more initial commitments on the older signing days because for the most part, Georgia's class, as it was lined up going into Wednesday, on the whole, looks about like it did in the last few weeks. I mean, the biggest difference was Monty Chroma, a running back I know Auburn really liked too out of Lee County. He actually flipped his commitment to Florida State probably about an hour ago at this point. But yeah, it's kind of wild. I feel for the recruiting guys out there like our Ben Wolk, you know, trying to make predictions, trying to keep up with it because a lot of this stuff does move very quickly. I think that in an NIL world, you kind of have last minute bids from different teams. And, you know, I totally understand kids having hard decisions and trying to make decisions late, but it definitely doesn't make it easier on the folks covering the recruitment. But it's definitely entertaining to try to follow. You just hope your team winds up getting more guys than they miss out on.
Well, according to you guys at Dogs 247 Georgia, right now with the signees from today, the second-ranked overall class in the country, highlighted by 3 5-stars at the top, Elijah Griffin, Isaiah Gibson, and Zayden Walker, just from top to bottom, Jordan. And again, I know you cover recruiting, but it's not your main focus. But just as a whole, has it gone the way you thought it was going to go? I know you said it stacked up pretty much like it did the last few weeks.
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing is trying to get the running back situation figured out. They've, like I said, missed out on Usmani Chroma. I don't know if they're going to try to add another running back. It might be something that they just kind of look at in the portal by the time we get to the winter. But they do have Bo Walker, who signed. It was one of their longest-standing commits. On the whole, I think Georgia's in pretty good shape. I would say other than running back, they would probably – maybe want to try to bulk up on another interior defensive lineman. Did miss out on a few guys they were chasing. Jeremiah McLeod sticks with his Florida commitment, and Kevin Wynn winds up committing to Florida State. But on the whole, I think they're really happy. I think they got a really good wide receiver class. I believe they got 5 guys, and all 5 have signed. Offensive line, they got those guys in probably by about 9:45, 10 a.m. They got those guys taken care of, and also have 2 quarterbacks coming in this class. So, I think they, on the whole, probably feel pretty good about where they are. Definitely a few misses, but that's going to happen with any class, especially when you're competing for some of the top talent in the country.
And as we flip from National Signing Day to what's happening this weekend in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz, you'll be there, right? I mean, I know I wasn't going to ask, but you'll be there, right?
Oh, yeah. Come on. I'm not missing that.
Where Georgia is taking on Texas in the SEC championship game. Break it down for us in terms of what you learned last night from the college football playoff about what they're going to take away from this SEC championship. We know what's written, and we know what they've said, right? You're not supposed to be punished for losing your SEC, the conference championship game. You're only supposed to be rewarded for winning it. Do you buy into that, Jordan? Do you think they're actually going to follow that, whether it's SEC or any other conference?
I think what they're going to wind up doing, Jacob, is sort of walking this fine line between the two. I think that, let's say Georgia loses, I think that they probably drop a spot or two where it's like, okay, there is value in winning your conference title because, you know, I don't think you necessarily want to say this game doesn't mean anything, you know, if Georgia loses. But at the same time, I think that they are going to be very judicious about how hard they hit some of these teams because if they wind up knocking a team completely out because they lost the conference title game, I mean, Jacob, the conversation for the next probably 3 weeks at minimum is going to be, why are we playing these games at all?
Yep.
You know, what is the reward, the benefit? So I think what's going to happen is they're going to wind up kind of walking a fine line when it comes to, hey, there is some value in playing this game and the fact that you lost it. We can't leave you exactly where you were before, but we're not going to hammer you for it because we know what that means and sort of the precedent it set. So rest assured, Jacob, there's going to be some upset fans throughout the country with however this bracket winds up playing out and what we see on Sunday. But I think for a team like Georgia, I think about a team like Clemson that's playing this weekend. You solve all your issues and any argument you may or may not have about where you are, or in the case of Clemson, if you're not in at all, just win the game on Saturday and then everything else will take care of itself.
And I think for Georgia, I mean, they're in a unique position, and you can disagree with me if you do. Like, I think Georgia is in that unique position where if they win, they get the automatic bid, they get the first round bye, and they'll play a neutral site for their first game in the college football playoff in the second round. If they lose, they're most likely hosting a first round game, or they could have to go on the road. We don't fully know how it's all going to play out. I mean, I think they have a possibility for all three of those slots, Jordan.
Definitely, and I think, too, let's say that they lose this game. I think whether they're, if they host or if they travel probably depends on what exactly this game looks like. You know, if it's like a three-point game, Georgia probably winds up hosting a playoff game. But, you know, all in all, I think that Georgia understands it's got a great opportunity to help itself out. One, you know, if it wins one, by clinching another SEC title, Kirby Smart puts a lot of value in this game, and I really do think that he means what he says when he talks about it. You know, he said on Sunday, I've been in this conference for about 30 years when you consider at the time he also spent playing at Georgia. And, you know, he pointed out that he's got about as many SEC titles as he does national championships, which illustrates how hard it is to win. So that would mean something to do that, but two, I think this team could really use that first round bye just because of the injury situation. I don't anticipate Trevor Etienne's going to be able to play on Saturday, still dealing with a rib injury. Even if he does play, I mean, he's not going to be 100% by any means. And then Christian Miller, who, you know, they're one of their best run stuffers, a guy that I think had a really good redshirt sophomore year. He got hurt against UMass, didn't play against Georgia Tech. We'll see on Wednesday night when the availability report comes out. I don't think he's going to be able to play either. So if you're talking about you find a way to win this game, getting that extra time to try to get those guys healthy, I think that would be invaluable for a team that, you know, if it gets in and is making a playoff push, you know, considers itself as one of the front runners to win the whole thing.
How do you feel about what the latest bracket looks like according to the rankings last night? If the playoff were to end right now with everybody winning and the assumed winners, Indiana would be coming to Athens to play Georgia. Would that make Georgia uncomfortable? I mean, I think Georgia's the better team, obviously, and they've got a lot more talent than Indiana, but that's the hottest story in college football. That would be quite the matchup, I think.
I know that, Jacob, I'm going to call it the Tom Crean Bowl if it happens. I don't know that a lot of folks on the junkyard are going to love that, but I think it would be a test for Georgia's defense. This has been a defense that has been up and down throughout this year. You know, had an awful first half against Alabama, responded, I think had its best game the whole season against Texas in Austin back in mid-October, but you know, struggled in the win against UMass, had probably a bad, probably 2.5 quarters against Georgia Tech on Friday night, and then turned it on in the fourth quarter and then turned it on in overtime. So, yeah, I mean, they'd have to show up ready to go because I do really like that Indiana team. I think when things are firing on all cylinders, it is really dangerous, but I think it would be fun if that played out that way. I know one thing. Man, it would be really neat if Georgia got to host a playoff game. That would be the type of game that fans who go to it, and certainly media members like me, it'd be really neat to say that we were part of history if that's how things wound up playing out.
I'll tell you one thing I just noticed as I'm sitting here looking at this bracket again. If it were to end right now as it is, and this is how it sets up, there's a possibility that Georgia-Texas could play three times. They played in the regular season, obviously. Georgia went to Austin and beat them. Of course, they're playing this Saturday in the SEC championship game. And according to this bracket, if Georgia were to beat Indiana, Texas would meet them again in the college football playoff. I mean, are they going to try to avoid that at all, do you think?
Well, you know, the way I've tried to kind of wrap my brain around it, you know, in recent weeks, I've just looked at this more and more as the NFLification of college football. I mean, you know, Steve Sarkisian talked about it on Sunday, looking at this game and said that, you know, he kind of looks at approaching this game like when he was an NFL assistant, because you would play, you know, your divisional opponents twice in a season. Understanding that, you know, you can't rely on what happened the first time. Things can be very different. So, for the longest time, I was like, they're going to probably work really hard to avoid that. And I think they're just going to come to terms with, hey, you know, with an expanded playoff, with the way college football is right now, we're just going to kind of lean on what it's like in the NFL, that you may see a team several times in the year, and it's just your job to take care of business again.
That's a really good point as we talk with Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Yeah, that's a really, really good point. I mean, the NFL, yeah, you see the same, you have a chance to see the same team two or three times, but for our whole lives growing up in college football, if you saw a team twice in one year, it was just like the craziest thing in the world, and it was, oh, hard to beat a team twice in the same season. We just treated it so different than the NFL, but as college gets closer to that, I think you have to start to adjust those expectations as well. Well, okay, let's talk Georgia and Texas. SEC championship game. We know what's at stake. We know what's going on here. Georgia hammered Texas on the road the first time. Can they do it again in Atlanta on Saturday?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big-time challenge. I think that's going to be one of those things that we're going to be on the edge of our seat. And I think it's going to be a fun one, Jacob. I know I'm looking forward to it.
And let's talk a little basketball really quickly before we let you go. Georgia, they're rolling, man. They were in the SEC-ACC Challenge last night. They represented the Southeastern Conference taking on Notre Dame and laid it down. They hammered Notre Dame last night. They were favored by 8.5, and they more than covered that. What'd you see from Georgia last night on the hardwood?
I was really impressed. I will say I thought that final score was a little misleading because it was probably maybe like a 10-11 point game for the majority of the second half. And then I think Georgia might have scored like the last 21 points. It was something like that to close it out. I really liked Georgia's defensive effort. Silas Demery Jr. had a career high 5 steals. They started the game 0-9 from the field, but it really didn't matter that much because they played really good defense on the other end of the floor. I was really impressed with that game. Dakota LaFeu continues to be Georgia's best three-point shooter. I thought he kind of buoyed the offense early in this game. I thought that when some of the other guys were trying to kind of find their stroke, trying to get in a good situation, that they could get the ball to Dakota and let him score and make plays. And then Asa Newell, I mean, I don't think he had any points until probably about 6 minutes left in the first half. And then Georgia goes on a run, and he's responsible for 8 of 10 points during that run. I mean, he had an outstanding close of the first half, and then it was very similar toward the end of the second half, especially when Georgia got on that run to really make this thing one-sided. He winds up putting up a double-double. I think he had 20 and 12. He continues to impress. I'm really interested to see what he's able to do going forward as, you know, once we get into SEC play. But even looking at next Saturday, back-to-back trips to Atlanta, Jacob, you've got the SEC title game on Saturday, and then you've got Georgia playing Grand Canyon on Saturday night as part of Holiday Hoopsgiving, which I know Auburn's playing earlier that day down there in State Farm Arena. I think that'll be another big test, see what the Bulldogs do against the Antelopes. And Georgia has 11 days between games, so a chance to get a little refresh and then get ready for that big one in Atlanta.
You sounded so excited for back-to-back trips to downtown Atlanta. I mean, it's just such a wonderful place to be, right? I mean, just you have plenty of time to get there, and you don't have to worry about any sort of traffic when you're down there.
Nah, maybe I'll get there early, Jacob, and go check out the aquarium. It's been a minute.
Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, man, we appreciate you taking the time on a very busy day in Athens with signing day, SEC championship game, covering basketball from last night as well. Tell the people where they can find you and everything you guys got going on that side.
Yeah, Jordan Davis Hill on Twitter at Dogs247, dogs247.com. Obviously wrapping up the recruiting intel from the day, and I would tell folks that are Georgia fans, keep an eye out on Friday, five-star defensive lineman Justice Terry. We'll be announcing his commitment, so we're going to be following that closely. But we got all the football coverage getting ready for the SEC title game on Saturday. The basketball that we talked about, busy time of year, but an entertaining time of year, no doubt. And we hope folks will follow it with us over there on the Junkyard and see what happens with these Bulldogs.
Well, safe travels to you in Atlanta this weekend. We'll have you on the show again next week. We'll be talking SEC championship and then college football playoff and see what happens.
Sounds like a plan.
Thanks so much. That's Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. Check him out, 247 Sports. If you have an Auburn account, you can use it for the Georgia site as well. Get everything you need to know. Go read their message boards, man. I mean, they may say something good over there. I don't know. Go check it out. So that's Dogs 247. That is Jordan Hill. Always appreciate him and his time. We'll take our final break, hour number one. Come back and wrap it up. Big hour two coming. All right, we'll tell you about that when we come back as we wrap up the first hour.
This is Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
All right, wrapping up hour number one here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate Jordan Hill from Dogs 247 joining us as he does every Wednesday. Got a few more minutes, and coming up in hour number two, with it being Wednesday, yes, we are going to have Daryl Dappridge from Locked On Auburn. He will be joining us from 3:15-ish to 3:45-ish. That's right. He's joining us for 30 minutes as he does every Wednesday. We've got a lot to talk about. We'll probably start with football and then go to basketball with the signing day stuff happening and all of that. And wanted to let you know, excited to share this, that to start the hour, all right, to start the hour, we'll cut the SportsCenter update as we normally have that at the top of each hour. We're going to cut that. We're going to bring it back and try to get into the hour as quickly as possible because when Hugh Freeze goes live for his 3 o'clock National Signing Day press conference, we're going to carry that. We got approval, thanks to Auburn Athletics. We got approval to carry that for you live here on the show. So we're going to carry that right at 3 o'clock when he talks about the 2025 class. I have no idea how long he's going to go. Couldn't tell you. We're going to carry it for at least the first 12, 15 minutes. If it goes long, we'll cut it, go to break, so we can get Daryl in here. But that'll hopefully give us the meat of that press conference. So we're excited to carry that for you. And thanks to Auburn Athletics and War Eagle Plus. That is where we're going to get it from. It's streaming there if you want to go check that out. But we are going to carry it for you right here on ESPN 106.7. So looking forward to that. That's how we'll start hour number two. And that'll carry right into Daryl Dappridge. And then we'll end the show from there. And so with basketball, like we're going to talk about with Daryl coming up in just a few minutes. How about college basketball, man? College basketball is pretty awesome in terms of the SEC-ACC challenge. We just mentioned it a little bit with Jordan a second ago. SEC dominated. I spanked the SEC last night, or the ACC last night. I mean, just put it on them. 9-1. They secured the chip last night. They won the contest on day one, and there's games coming up tonight, too. It's crazy how that happened. But it was 9-0. The SEC had won every single game, and then Kentucky dropped the ball. Thanks, Coach Pope. Thanks, Mark Pope. Thanks, Kentucky. Thanks, Big Blue Nation. Way to go. SEC goes 9-1 last night. Listen to this. I'm going to try and run through this. Tennessee beats Syracuse 96-70. Kentucky loses on the road to Clemson 70-66. Oklahoma beats Georgia Tech 76-61. Texas A&M beats Wake Forest 57-44. Ole Miss beats Louisville 86-63 on the road. Arkansas comes from behind to beat Miami 76-73. Georgia beats Notre Dame 69-48. Missouri hosts California, beats them 98-93. That's a high-scoring game right there. South Carolina goes on the road, handles business against Boston College 73-51. And LSU hosts Florida State, and they beat them 85-75. Big games coming up tonight as well. How about this? Alabama in Chapel Hill taking on North Carolina. Virginia goes to Florida. Pitt, a ranked Pitt team, goes to Mississippi State. Texas on the road in Raleigh at NC State. Vandy in Virginia Tech. And your Auburn Tigers take on Duke inside of Cameron Indoor. A big night for college basketball. We'll talk about it coming up more in hour number two. We're going to start the hour with Hugh Freeze's press conference. Don't go anywhere. Hour number two coming up.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here at hour number two. Going to make it short and sweet, as I promised. We're going to carry Hugh Freeze's National Signing Day press conference live here on the air. We're starting hour number two with this. Darrell Dapperge from Locked On Auburn coming up soon. But here's head coach Hugh Freeze sitting down as we speak to talk about National Signing Day 2025. Well, it seems to be having some, the streams having some pretty technical difficulties. Let's see if we can get this. Trying to get it figured out here again. Internet's fine and everything seems to be okay. Stream just seems to be struggling a little bit. Trying to carry the live press conference. If not, that's okay. But we will try to get that up and going for you. Would love to have the press conference just buffering quite a bit. So if we can't, that's okay. Just seems to be buffering quite a bit. And again, wanted to carry the live presser, but it's seems to be struggling a little bit, so that's okay. We'll see if we can get that worked out. But hour number two is underway here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate you being here. Jacob Goins with you on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Hour number two during On the Line each and every day is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. And looking forward to a really exciting hour number two, as we're going to have Darrell Dapperge from Locked On Auburn, who's going to be with us. He'll join us around 3:15-ish. We will be talking to him about football with National Signing Day. We'll also be talking about college basketball with Auburn as they get ready to take on Duke tonight in Cameron Indoor Stadium. Really excited to talk about that. Because what a huge game that is for Auburn. If they can go in there and get a win, I mean, what a resume type of win that would be again for Auburn to be able to add that to their resume. And, I mean, they've already got the best wins in the country, yes. But if they can add this one in one of the most historic places in all of college basketball, I mean, how cool would that be, right? How cool would that be? So looking forward to talking to Darrell about that. And his thoughts of National Signing Day, his thoughts from the Iron Bowl, unfortunately, and what the offseason could look like for Auburn moving forward. And again, trying to get, I don't know if anybody else is like watching this right now, but it just seems to be kind of buffering. And so, look, I would love to carry it, the press conference for Hugh Freeze, but it's stopping. And I don't think it's internet. I think internet's fine here. Just seems to be the stream. So it is what it is. We will maybe try to carry it for you in just a little bit later. But National Signing Day, man, I think it was a success. I really do. And wish we could hear what he says, but we'll try to get that for you a little bit later. And overall, I do think Auburn fans should be happy with what we've seen today. The fact that you were able to keep Jared Smith with late pushes from elsewhere in the SEC, the fact that you were able to keep Deuce Knight and get the initial flip, yes, but get him to sign is a really big deal as well. And somebody just texted and said, what about a place kicker? Did we get one of those? Haven't seen that. We did get a punter, if that makes you feel any better. Did get a punter from Thompson, a really good one at that. I think Auburn's going to be fine in kicking. I do. I think Auburn will be okay because I still believe that Towns Magoo can be the answer there. I really do. Look, I didn't get a chance to call his games, but Jack Hutton did, a good friend of mine who works with us here in the radio business. Like, he saw him kick, and I've listened and I've watched him and I've seen it. Like, that kid can play, man. He was one of the best kickers in the country when he was in high school, and I know this is a bigger level. It's a bigger step up, but he's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. And so I think that Auburn is going to be okay in the kicking game, but they've got to figure out the special teams as a whole. I mentioned that in the first hour where you've got to find a way to fix your kicking woes, your punting woes, your punt return and kick return woes, and your coverage woes. It's the first time I've ever said woes in my life. You've got to figure all that out because it's such a small part of the game until it's a big part of the game. Does that make sense? Like, if you do it good, yeah, it's not a big deal. It's not a huge part of the game. But when you do it bad, it becomes a huge part of the game. It becomes a massive impact on the outcome of a four-quarter game. And I think for Auburn, whether you fire the special teams coordinator and make changes there or go get a kicker in the portal or sign one or do whatever, I mean, you just want it to be fixed because, again, it's something that doesn't get a whole lot of praise, but gets a whole lot of hate. And I really do hate that, but it is what it is. Hey, phone lines are open, by the way. Sorry about that. Phone lines are open to start this hour. I got a few minutes before we take a break and get to Daryl. 334-321-1390. Also, a couple of texts in the on-the-line text box as well. You can do that at 334-784-1067. We'll get to the phone lines. Got somebody calling in. You're on the line. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, it's Dak, man. How you doing?
What's up, Dak? How are you, brother?
Good. Good signing day today.
Yes.
Very pleased with everything.
Yeah.
I think there was no surprise other than the fact that we got them to sign on the dotted line, so that was good.
Yeah, that's always a plus.
Yeah, but the tight ends that we signed.
Say that again. You broke up on me. I'm sorry.
Do you know anything about the tight ends that we signed today?
I do, yeah. So I'll tell you one, Gee is a really, really talented guy. I think he's somebody that will be probably very much in Auburn's offense in the future if Auburn continues to, or I guess I should say goes back to using tight ends, Dak. I mean, that's something historically for Auburn that,
right?
I mean, well, they just haven't
that's
used.
That's what I was going to Yeah, that's what I was going to get at, how much we miss a dominant tight end. And
mm-hmm.
And if you look at the success that Beck had at Georgia and compare him to this year, do you notice the big difference without Bowers?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, that was huge.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something. Against Alabama, our tight end struggled.
Mm-hmm.
They got dominated. And it hurt us in the red zone. And I think that's probably, if you go back and look at every game where we had struggles in the red zone, that's probably going to show up in the other games as well. But it really showed up this past weekend. I think if we could find that guy, they're out there. We got to find that guy like Penn State has, or like Bowers was for Georgia. I mean, we got to have a guy that can run routes like a wide receiver but block like a tight end.
That's right. That's right. And both of these guys, I think, can be that. They're both 6'5", 230. I mean, they've got really good size, but I think they can both move. Hollis Davidson from Georgia, the four-star that signed today, and then Ryan Gee, the three-star out of Georgia as well. I mean, I think both of them can be really, really effective. And look, I've said it several times, and it's crazy to say, but when Harsin was here, he actually did use the tight ends quite a bit. I mean, Auburn actually threw to those guys a little bit, but they got to get back to that. And if they can, yeah, a difference maker at tight end. I mean, look at the NFL, Dak. Some of the best players on offense are tight ends.
Absolutely. If you look at the NFL and you look at the successful offensive football teams, they have a dominant tight end.
Yeah, I mean, look at Gronkowski's one of the best players to ever do it. You've got Travis Kelce going right now. I mean, you have all sorts of those guys in the NFL.
That's right. So let me ask you a question about McPherson. Do you think they'll try to get a hardship on this year on him?
I don't know. I honestly don't know what they're going to do. With a health situation like that, surely go ahead.
Right. He didn't play, but in what, one game?
I think so. I mean, did he play? Yeah, I mean, he appeared in one, maybe. Is that right? I think so.
Yeah, so I would think he would qualify for you know, basically a redshirt year for that purpose.
Yeah, and this isn't this is, I guess, me being ignorant, but I don't know the difference in an injury, right, if you tear your ACL versus having what he has that's not really football related, right? Where he's been hospitalized and things like that. I don't know if there's a difference there or not.
Yeah, I don't think it matters. I think as long as a health reason, you qualify. It matters about how many minutes or either how many quarters you played compared to is what it used to be. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is now. I'm assuming it's similar.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he's going to qualify for that.
I hope so.
But yeah, we desperately need him back.
Yeah, and if that doesn't happen, though, for whatever reason, I still feel good about Towns Magoo, but Auburn will probably go get somebody. I mean,
they have to. You can't count on that.
No.
Now, I think that was one of the problems. I think we put all of our eggs in that basket, and it didn't work out, and you see what happened.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely got to go out and find another kicker just in case McPherson, you know, can't come back or, you know, whatever. But you've got to have that kicker that can kick 45 yards on end, you know. And I don't know what it is about kickers. I've seen this before, All-American high school kids that can kick 60-yarders, and that's what all they rave about. But then when they get to college, they can't kick that 40, that 35-yard field goal consistent. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it three or four different times, and we've seen it at Auburn twice before.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got to have that mindset, killer mindset, even as a kicker. If you don't, in the big games, you're not going – you know, just – think back to Gus, you know, with the kicker that's at the Raiders now. He had it. He had that mindset. He
Daniel,
was a killer. But then his brother not necessarily had it like him, right?
Right. Daniel was accurate and could hit from 45 in. He was money every time. Anders, he's good for a 60-yarder every now and then, but the 35-yarder, he's going to miss 50% of the time.
That's right. And look, what wins those games is those guys that can kick those from the 40 on in.
That's right.
Consistent.
That's right.
When the game is on the line.
Yep. That's exactly right.
All right. Man, I appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah, appreciate it, Dak. Always good to hear from you, brother. 334-321-1390. I know we got somebody else, but we got to get to break. Daryl Dapperich of Locked On Auburn is coming up next. Got several people calling in. I appreciate that, but we got to get to break. Daryl Dapperich joins us next. There's a lot of text in the on-the-line text box as well, asking about the portal, asking about Auburn and Duke. We're covering all of that with Daryl Dapperich when we come back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Stay tuned.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN Radio, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
War Eagle, this is Coach Hugh Freeze, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
It's that time. It's that time. Double D Wednesday with Daryl Dapperich of Locked On Auburn. Daryl, I had to shut the phone lines down. They were lit up like a Christmas tree, man, to get you on the air. But people are excited to hear from you on a big, big day around Auburn Athletics. How are you, my friend?
Man, it's great to be on with you, and it is a big day. I mean, National Signing Day and going to play Duke at Cameron Indoor. It's just, it's overload, man. It really is. I'm glad it's spread out a little bit, though. I'm glad signing day will be wrapped up pretty much by the time the tip-off happens in Cameron Indoor.
Well, we were trying to carry the Hugh Freeze press conference live, but it was having some struggles with the stream. Did you get a chance to listen to it?
I did not. I was having some issues and some things I had to take care of on my own here. And yeah, I could not. I was pretty much glued to the phone today, but I could not get away to watch the press conference.
Well, no worries there. I didn't know if you happen to have it on, but we want to hear your thoughts more anyway. And so Auburn in their 2025 National Signing Day, as of right now, and we just got another commitment about 5 or 6 minutes ago from Donovan Starr, Auburn is ranked in the top 10, flirting with a top 5 class, Daryl, but overall, your summary and your evaluation of what Auburn has done to this point in the 2025 signing class?
Sure. I think with Starr, it kind of solidifies them at 7. I think that Auburn was really, really looking at getting a top 3 class and felt even as good as late last night that was going to happen. Now, let me just say this. They're still in the works to get a top 5 class if Justice Terry, who I think signs Friday, Auburn's still in the mix for him. He's a .99 composite kid. If Auburn gets him, they're top 5. Of course, the Naheem offered situation, it really looked like, Jacob, I mean, late last night that offered had told some staff, as did Chroma, that they were going to come, that they were coming to Auburn. Mm-hmm. And so it was a little bit surprising. And, you know, I guess the staff, you know, they were told that. But then at the end of the day, Oregon comes in late, gets offered. FSU, not Georgia, comes in late and gets Chroma. Auburn was able to flip Darian Smith. They were able to hold on to Donovan Starr, who as of last week was going to flip to Bama. And then, like I mentioned, the Justice Terry thing is still out there. Auburn right now could do no worse than probably 7th or 8th, and probably the best they could do is 5th. But something interesting, and I want to make sure I'm pronouncing the kid's name correctly, the Auburn running back that you covered.
Omar?
Is that Mapson?
Yes, Mapson. Yeah, yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All indications are he's reclassifying, is what I'm hearing, for this particular season. It would sign in February, the regular signing day, and mm-hmm. Auburn's in the mix for him. I mean, I'm not saying he's leaning Auburn. I'm not crystal balling him to Auburn. I'm just saying Auburn is in it and would like to sign him. So that would be a really good get in place of Chroma, hearing that he's reclassifying and will sign in February. So you get Terry, you get him, you're top 5. If you don't, you're top 7. For us to sit here and feel disappointed or let down that you sign a top 7 class is pretty amazing. And I'll be honest, those are real feelings. There are people feeling that way. At some point this afternoon, I was a little disappointed that Chroma and Offer didn't come, and it was like, you know, that they were, and Zion Grady, Auburn got in him late, thought that last night that there was going to be a flip there from Ohio State. I mean, there was a real possibility that those three guys were signing with Auburn today. They didn't. As I mentioned, Darian Smith did. He flipped from Tennessee. star who Auburn didn't think last night they were going to get. They get him. And then you've still got the Omar and Justice Terry out there. This would make this class a top five class. So, you know, in the end of the day, it's still a great class, just not as good as I think people thought it could become.
And I think, you know, for fans, I think you have to be reminded that it can go both ways in terms of flipping and excitement and disappointment. I mean, you mentioned it right there. Auburn's had their fair share of flips to Auburn, and you've lost a couple of flips from Auburn to other places. And then with Naeem Offer, that was one where almost everybody said, oh, yeah, he's going to flip from Ohio State. Just nobody really had it going out to Eugene rather than coming down to Auburn. And so, I mean, that it just happens. And in today's world, Darryl, we talk all the time just how different it is in high school recruiting. I mean, it can literally change with a single phone call because, well, let's be real, of the dollar amount that's put on the table.
Well, look, I know people make their living commenting on recruiting. We do that in the barn. Auburn.com, I know that On3, 247, all these places, I mean, they get information, they get intel, and they share it because that's what their subscribers and our subscribers want to hear. Unfortunately, what happens is when you start crystal balling kids this late in the process, like Chroma, like Offered in the last two or three days, it gives schools with a lot of resources, like Oregon, to come back and say at the last minute encounter. And that's what happens. If they think they're going to their school, they don't have to re-up or they don't have to counter. And that's what happened in this situation. When Offord started getting crystal ball to Auburn in the last couple of days and Chroma, it put people – now, the FSU thing for Chroma was a real surprise. And, you know, ironically, Gus Malzahn was instrumental in getting him to flip is what I'm hearing. So with him being at Florida State – Florida State got Shamar Arnaud, another kid that flipped from Auburn and flipped to Florida State today. But, you know, with getting Donovan Starr, that Donovan Starr is a better corner. But that FSU lost some players. Their class was falling apart. And so they went into panic mode. They started dropping some big bags. Everybody does it. But Florida State could not afford to not get a couple more guys in their class that were a little high profile. And so that's where you are. At the end of the day, like I said, I think Auburn finishes no worse than seventh, probably no better than fifth. But that's pretty significant to be, you know, a little let down by that. And that's running with the big dogs is what that's doing. And again, there's still some big dogs out there. And we'll see how it plays out in the next week and then in the next 2 months. Because remember, like Jeremiah Cobb signed in February for Auburn mm-hmm. when he signed. So, you know, there's still some guys that could be got in February. I don't know how much room Auburn will have, but we'll see. But I know they're interested in Omar, and I know that would be a second running back they could take in this class.
Back in the day, Darryl, when eBay was just getting going, it was eBay sniping or bid sniping is what they called it, where you'd find an item, right, and you'd sit on it, and you wouldn't bid on it until the last possible second. Then you'd come in and just place your bid and get in before anybody else could do it right before the item ended, and then you'd be able to win the item, right? Seems like that's what's happening here in high school recruiting. You may have the lead for months, heck, even years. And all it takes is that one phone call, and it can change everything. And that's just the way – that's the way of the road now, and that's just how it goes. And let's be real here. Auburn has done their fair share of that too. And the fact you still have
you
a top –
you can't complain about it
right.
if you do it.
Yeah.
And Auburn has done it. You know, they always have where Auburn is this year, though, I'm a little bit – unless it's Terry, I haven't seen that big surprise flip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Auburn got Darian Smith to flip, like I said, from Tennessee. That wasn't really a surprise. St. Francis Academy kid, like his teammates. You know, there's not that surprise flip yet. And that's where I think, you know, it could be Terry. We'll see. But, you know, this class was pretty much done, it looks like, after Big Cat weekend. I mean, it's just, well, after Deuce Knight committed to Auburn and flipped from Notre Dame, this class has been done. What surprises has there been? There's been a couple of defections. Dice went to Florida. Nate Marshall flipped from Michigan to Auburn, back to Michigan. And then the Shamar Arnaud flip. That's it. Everyone else has stayed on board, and then Auburn's gotten Smith. So, you know, it's not really been a lot of surprises. It's been kind of this class has been what it is since Big Cat Weekend and since the last month when Knight, you know, and look, you heard rumblings that Jared Smith may jump. You heard rumblings that Elijah Melendez may jump. There were people that were concerned about Derek Smith.
Alvin Henderson.
Auburn was able to retain all those guys, and they are top. I mean, Jared Smith is the best edge rusher in the state of Alabama. Elijah Melendez is a top, should be a five-star linebacker from Florida that committed to Auburn. I mean, just a man child. And then, of course, your prize prospect in Deuce Knight, where, you know, people are freaking out that he's going to the Egg Bowl and all that stuff, and Lane Kiffin's trolling. And at the end of the day, they stayed, and they've made this class what it is. So what you do is you allocate funds now. Whatever you saved on a Chroma or a offered, you have to put into the pot now for transfer portal. And quarterback's not going to be cheap. An offensive tackle's not going to be cheap. You have to see what's going to happen in your running back room if everybody stays put. So, yeah, you just reallocate funds, and now it's fun. December 9th, right? Portal opens up.
Boom.
Monday. So, here we go, round two.
Round two, man. It never stops in terms of recruiting, portal things, and we hear coaches talk about that all the time. Daryl, we got about a minute and a half before we take our bottom of the hour break. Quickly here, your favorite player who has signed so far in the class and a dark horse that has signed in this class that maybe isn't getting the love that he deserves.
Well, Blake Woodby is the dark horse. The corner from St. Francis Academy in Baltimore, Maryland. He's a four-star. Everybody was in love with Offord, and I know a lot of people like Donovan Starr, but I think Woodby is a very underrated high four-star player. He's a dark horse, and he's somebody that could get on the field next year. I think my favorite, or the guy that, you know, I just feel like Auburn absolutely had to have, is the obvious one in Deuce Knight. And it's because of optics. It's because of the four-star, five-star quarterback that Hugh Freeze finally gets. Now, look, he's raw, and I think his ceiling is unbelievable, probably higher than some of the other kids that were ranked higher than him that are going to be able to maybe play right away. I don't think Deuce Knight is a kid that's going to come in next year and play. I think he needs some seasoning, and he's raw. That's why it's important to get a quarterback in the portal. But I like him a lot. I think he is the crown jewel of the class. And I think that, like I said, Woodby is your dark horse.
Okay, I like it. I agree with you on Deuce Knight. I really do. For Auburn fans that want this to be a Bo Nix situation where he walks in day one and starts, I just don't know if that's the best thing for Auburn, which is why you said got to allocate some funds and hit the transfer portal, which we're just a few days away from that. Auburn looking to secure a top six, possibly a top five class for 2025. But we got basketball to talk about, too, as the Tigers are on the road at Duke, taking on the Blue Devils inside of Cameron Indoor. We're talking college basketball with Daryl Dapperidge when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins with you on the Auburn Opelika sports leader. We got another segment with Daryl Dappert from Locked On Auburn and the Barn. And man, as much fun as football has been with high school recruiting and all the transfer portal rumors that are swirling around, college basketball is at an all-time high, and conference play is still 3 weeks away. Auburn is on the road at Duke tonight, my friend, but recap Maui for us. What a heck of a tournament. We talked to you a week ago when Auburn was getting ready to take on Memphis in the championship game, and the Tigers dominated to win their first ever Maui Invitational.
You know, I think that this team and Bruce's teams the last couple of years are really, really built and suited for these back-to-back-to-back games. I mean, you know, you think about it. They did it in the SEC tournament last year. Now they do it in Maui. And after they beat Iowa State, which was such a brutal game and took so much out of them, I was shocked how they came out against North Carolina and Memphis, looked like the fresher team, beat both teams to the punches, put the game away early. And so that, you know, that's what depth does for you. But I was really surprised that, you know, both against North Carolina and Memphis. Remember, Memphis had 6 extra hours rest. And Auburn looked like the fresher team. They've the last 2 times Auburn has played in a tournament where you play back-to-back-to-back, they have really, really thrived. And that shows a mental toughness, and it shows an ability to overcome that with depth, unlike a team that's the back-to-back national champions that has a coach that whines and cries like a little baby at UConn, Dan Hurley, and says, oh, we're not going to play in these tournaments anymore. I mean,
what a joke.
That is the most joke. I mean, just to talk about losing respect and what a clown shoes show that is for Hurley to come out and say that, just like a baby, like, I'm going to take my ball and go home. You're the back-to-back national champion.
And you ran away scared.
And you ran away scared, and you're talking about, I'm not going to play in it again, instead of embracing it. And, you know, that's what's unfortunate. I wish Gino Auriemma would have said something publicly like, well, you know, we ran women's college basketball for a lot longer than Connecticut has men's basketball, and we're not afraid to play in these tournaments. So, you know, that's just a clown show. And I'm proud of the way Auburn has attacked this thing. And, yeah, wrapping up Maui, they came out of that tournament with a lot of eyeballs and national pundits saying this is the best team in the country, and then they get to put that to a test tonight.
Well, they get to do that in one of the greatest cathedrals in all of college basketball. I've seen some of the local media who's been able to make the trip out there. Andy Burtzum sent me a picture earlier today from their view in the broadcast booth there at Cameron Indoor. And I told him, like, look, man, not only is it a bucket list to watch a game there, but for myself as a broadcaster to call a game there would be truly unbelievable. And while this is technically the first true road game for Auburn this season, we saw them play in downtown Houston, which was a road game for them. So I'm not overly concerned with the atmosphere tonight, Daryl. Are you?
Yeah, it's different. It's not Houston's NBA stadium arena, which was, you know, half filled, honestly. And then half of those were Houston fans. And, you know, the rest were maybe 3/4 of those were Houston fans. The rest were Auburn fans. A little bit different. I mean, I know that maybe from a sheer volume standpoint, but Cameron Indoor and the Cameron Crazies are a lot different than, you know, the buttoned-up Houston fans that went to the Toyota Center to watch Houston play in an NBA arena. It's different. And the officiating will be different. I'm just going to say it right now. Listen, for all the Auburn fans that are listening right now, when you're watching this game tonight, do yourself a favor and tell yourself right now, don't get worked up, because it's worth 6 points. Duke will get the equivalent of 6 points worth of officiating when you play in Cameron Indoor Stadium. It's going to happen. Auburn's just going to have to overcome it. They've overcome adversity before. I have been following and watching college basketball religiously since 1979, 1980. In the 80s, I watched it, and I've watched when Duke got to its rise and teams go in there like Kansas and North Carolina and really good Arizona teams and went to the Final Four and won national championships. And they don't get calls in Cameron Indoor. So don't expect Auburn to. It is what it is. And, you know, it's going to be a difficult when you look at foul differentials. So Auburn's just going to have to overcome that. They're just going to have to play that much better and to do that, because it is a different environment. I believe 100% that officials don't go into a game consciously trying to call it a certain way. But I believe reputation and pedigree matters with officials sometimes. And I believe they go into Cameron Indoor and buy into the mystique, and especially when Krzyzewski was sitting over there on the sidelines. So it's worth 4 to 6 points. It's no different than going into Bryant Denny or, you know, LSU at night or, you know, whatever. It's going to happen, and you just have to overcome it. And I think this squad, this team has shown in the Maui tournament, they overcame a lot of adversity, foul differentials, curious calls, certain things where officials looked like they were trying to keep teams in games close. Auburn can overcome that. And especially with the way Broome has been playing, I'm interested to see Miles Kelly tonight and what the status is with his wrist. You know, he couldn't go but 12 minutes in the championship game against Memphis. They really didn't need him. You're going to need him tonight. You're going to need him to defend and shoot the three tonight. And so it'll be interesting to see how many minutes he gets and how healthy he is.
I guess it's not fair for me to say I'm not worried about the atmosphere. I'm not worried about Auburn in that atmosphere. The atmosphere is going to be
great
crazy.
Point. Yeah,
I mean, but this team is so experienced and they're so deep, Daryl, that I think they're going to be just fine, but they will have to overcome it.
They're not going to be wide-eyed, so I get your point.
That's what I mean, yeah.
They're not going to go in and be like, you know,
wide-eyed
and blown away and be like, you know, happy to be here. Measuring stick. That's not going to happen. Auburn fully expects to go in and win this game.
And I think you made that point a week ago on here too.
Yeah,
which is right.
Go in there and just be like, you know, blown. I mean, just you know, overwhelmed by the atmosphere, intimidated by the atmosphere. I think you know the atmosphere can still cause things to happen in a game, even if you're not intimidated by it. I mean, that two things can be true at once, especially if officiating has a play in it. But I think Auburn will go in feeling like they belong, that they're actually, ironically, the team that's higher ranked. You know, they're not favored only because of the home court factor. But Auburn is the team from a net ranking, from a KenPom ranking, from an AP ranking. They're the higher ranked team than Duke. And I believe Duke has lost to Kentucky. Auburn has not lost yet. So, look. It can happen. I mean, like I said, Arizona went in there last year and beat Duke. I feel like Duke's better this year, probably with Flagg and the other kid. I think they're really good. I think it's going to be Cardwell and Broome are going to have to, and Chaney Johnson are going to have to really, really play good defensively and lock them down. That's going to be fun to watch. That's why I think I think the bigs are going to completely cancel each other out in this game. And it's going to become about guard play. And this is where Pettiford, Kelly, Denver Jones, and to a certain extent Chad Baker-Mazzara really have to shine. Because after Duke's two big guys, I think you go down the list in the Auburn roster, and Auburn's got more guys that can step up and score. And they're deeper, which is amazing to say. But that's going to be the guard play is going to be the interesting, I think, aspect of this basketball game. You think the bigs are going to cancel each other out.
Well, you're starting to dip into my next question about how Auburn matches up with Duke. And I agree. I think Auburn matches up okay with Duke, not great, because of guys like Cooper Flagg and some of those others who, look, they're going to get theirs. I mean, you gotta live with that. He's turnover prone, though. We've seen that in Duke's two losses. They put the ball in his hands, and he turned it over both times. But I'm with you. I think Denver and JP and possibly even Pettiford. I mean, you've got to see some things from those guys tonight. Guard play on the road is essential. How do you think Auburn matches up just 5-on-5, whoever five that is? How do you think Auburn matches up with Duke?
I think they match up well, and I think Chad Baker-Mazzara is the X factor.
Boom.
I mean, you know, listen, Seth Greenberg, who I respect extremely, the used to coach at Virginia Tech,
yep,
is on.
Me too.
ESPN analyst. He called Chad Baker-Mazzara Swiss Army knife, and he does. He's your X factor. He could, you know, at 6'7", 6'8", he can guard a 4. He could guard a 2 with his speed and his quickness, and he's just a pest defensively. What he has to make sure of tonight is to keep his emotions in check. Those Duke fans are at a whole nother level of what they say, what they know about you. And they're right on top of you, right on top of you, that student section. And you can bet they know everything about Chad Baker-Mazzara that there is to know. They do research, they study, and they use that. So he has got to keep his composure, keep his cool, don't let his emotions. You know, if a player at Duke feels like they can bait him or goad him, they will. And so just, you know, play your game. You've got teammates that have your back that are really, really good. And so that's, you know, Auburn they never need to go out there and not play with emotion. That's part of their game. That's part of what makes them so great. They just have to be careful. And if they get frustrated because of the officiating, that's another thing to be careful about because they'll get teed up in a heartbeat. I mean, that you're going to see some officiating things. You don't want to talk to an official or say something to official and let your frustration come out because then you're giving away points. So we'll see. I think that they're composed a lot more this year than they were last year, even though they're very high strung, very high emotional, intense basketball team. But my gosh, are they senior veteran laden? So they need to utilize that tonight. The experience that they have on that basketball team, they need to absolutely utilize tonight when you're talking about playing in a place like Duke.
What's funny is when you start talking Auburn and Duke playing in basketball together, right? In the years past, it would be the old school legend of Coach K versus Auburn with Bruce or whoever it was, you know, whatever coach, right, throughout the years that Auburn has had. But now it's the old school legendary coach Bruce Pearl at Auburn and the youngster John Shire at Duke. I mean, what a change of events when these two teams get together in just a couple of years and two completely different coaching styles and game plans we'll see tonight.
I think when Auburn played Duke in Maui or the Bahamas or whatever the crap they played them years ago, it was
Maui,
like one
yeah.
of those deals where they were just kind of excited to be there and, you know, let's see how we measure up with the blue blood and we're playing, this is a measuring stick game. That is not at all the mindset that Auburn's going into this game. It is, we're going there to win. We're the number two team in the country. We should be favored. We're not. Let's go prove some people wrong.
I think so. I really do think so. Hey, Daryl, what have you seen from, how about the SEC last night? I mean, just dominated the ACC. Great games coming up tonight. Probably better games tonight, but SEC flexed its muscles, huh?
I was shocked at some of those
9-1
scores last night. Yeah, I really was. Louisville lost one of their better players to an injury two or three days ago, so the Ole Miss score didn't surprise me because their best player went down. But, you know, A&M, it's just someone just needs to check on Danny Cannell because I think he's probably really – he's spiraling right now with his ACC love, and it's happening in basketball too. Tonight, there's some good games. I mean, North Carolina, Alabama. North Carolina plays very similar to what Oregon does.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, Oregon beats Alabama out in the finals of that tournament.
How much can you compare Alabama's performance against North Carolina compared to what Auburn did?
You can't because of where the game's being played. I think on a neutral floor is such a different indicator. Neutral floor to me is absolutely the best indicator to tell who the better basketball team is. When you're going into somebody else's arena, I think that changes it. I think if Auburn was to play Duke on a neutral floor, I would feel 100% comfortable about Auburn winning this game. The fact they're playing in camera gives me some pause. And the same thing with Alabama going to North Carolina. It's just different playing in the Dean Dome than it is playing on a neutral floor in Maui. So it'll be different. I mean, I think if Alabama goes in there and beats North Carolina on the road, that's a huge statement. And I think if Auburn goes in to Cameron and beats Duke on the road, it's a huge statement. And if both teams do that, then it's amazing that, you know, the hub of college basketball could reside in the state of Alabama tonight instead of North Carolina, Tobacco Road, where it normally does. And then you think about that. Imagine adding a third team into the mix. North Carolina State, who had a magical run last year, is 8 miles away from Chapel Hill and Durham.
Yeah.
I mean, there's three. I mean, it just blows my mind where people don't understand that. Imagine how heated the Iron Bowl is if Auburn and Alabama were 10 miles away from each other. And then, oh, by the way, there's a third team that you throw in there that's a college football heavyweight that you've got to play. I mean, it's just, and you play them twice a year. Everybody plays each other twice a year. So
I don't think we could handle it. I think the state would implode.
I don't think we could. There's absolutely no way. There would be more fights and shootings. And I mean, it would just be, I mean, you think that the trees getting, you know, poisoned by idiot Updike was a thing. If you threw a third team in the mix and you played each other twice a year, and you're 10 minutes away from each other, it's just hard to grasp that unless you're in the middle of that and how it is just, you know, they live and die with it, and you have to see each other. You have to see a rival four times a year, home and away in college basketball when you're in Tobacco Road.
That's crazy.
So,
I didn't even notice that. Yeah, NC State hosts Texas, Duke hosts Auburn, and North Carolina hosts Alabama. How in the heck did that happen?
Yeah, they got all the love, didn't they?
I'm telling you,
They got all North Carolina. They got a little bit of an advantage there.
Well,
it is what it is.
It is what it is. You're right. Big time basketball coming up tonight. Auburn and Duke. That tips at 8:15 on ESPN. Of course, here locally on the radio on Wings 94.3. Daryl Dapper, it's Locked On Auburn. You guys going live tonight, Daryl? You got to stay up late again, huh?
Oh yeah, we're staying up late. We're going live. Man.
You sound so excited for it.
Well, no, I love it. I mean, I just wish they were a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
I love going live. We have so many people jump in there. And
y'all do, yeah.
Interact with us. It's great. But, yeah, it'd be fun if it was just a little bit early.
I mean, don't you know the owner of your company? Can't you just go in a little bit late tomorrow?
I can, but because I know the owner of our company so well, I won't.
Daryl, plug it all. Tell the people where they can find it tonight and when you're on Locked On Auburn, the daily Auburn podcast.
Yeah, Zach and I are recording a recruiting wrap-up show tonight before the Duke Auburn game. That won't be live. That'll just be a reaction show, and then we're going live tonight, and then the regular show Friday that we'll drop, and then obviously for the rest of the year we go live after basketball games. You can find me in the barn, auburn.com, doing some DAP recaps after these games.
Daryl, I appreciate you, my man. I know there's a lot going on. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today and every single Wednesday. Enjoy watching the game tonight. I'll be tuned in, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, Jacob. Have a great week, man.
Thanks so much. That's Daryl Dapper. It's Locked On Auburn. Go check it out wherever you get your podcast. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it up here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN Radio, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. Thanks so much for being here. Been a great show today, man. We've had a lot of fun. Been busy. I knew it would be on National Signing Day. Auburn football getting their 2025 signing class wrapped up. Not fully done, but for the most part. Couple of big names still hanging around out there. That'll be going tomorrow, one on Friday, and then you know, a couple of stragglers coming in February as well. And so all of that today we talked about, plus Auburn basketball on the road at Duke. Again, you can catch the game broadcast over on Wings 94.3. Andy Burcham is in Cameron Indoor tonight. I'm really jealous. Again, he sent me a picture earlier. I'm extremely jealous of him, but they're going to do a great job and looking forward to that. Him and Randall Dickey are on the air on the Auburn Sports Network. That's over on Wings 94.3. Auburn's got their work cut out for him, and what Daryl said is absolutely true. That's not being a homer. That's not being biased. That's just a fact that you are in Cameron Indoor. You are not going to get the calls you want, man, and so Auburn better be ready to overcome, he said 6 points. I think it's more like 8 or 10, but that's just picking hairs at that point. So looking forward to that tonight, but we talked a lot about that today, National Signing Day. Didn't get to a hold of a lot of the college football playoff reactions, but we'll do a lot more of that tomorrow because I still think it's a rigged system. I think it's broken. I think it's corrupt, but that's just me, and some people are tired of hearing it, and some people just refuse to believe it, but eventually they will. Eventually they'll believe it, I think, and that's okay. And so if you missed any of the show today, you can go and listen to the podcast. We'll have the show audio posted for you on our station website at ESPNAU.com. I want to remind you that hour number two each and every day here on ESPN during On the Line is brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic. So shout out to them for sponsoring the second hour of the show. I appreciate you hanging around with me with the voice, man. It's trying to come back, and I'm starting to feel a little bit better, but, you know, it's a busy time of year. There's a lot going on, and just can't afford to miss time. So don't want to miss time. That's the biggest thing, too. I want to be here. Don't want to miss time. And so I appreciate you being with me for the last 2 hours. The drive coming up for the next 2 hours. They're going to talk more about National Signing Day. They'll talk more Auburn and Duke as well. They'll take you up to 6 o'clock. And then Bama, North Carolina is first. and then Auburn and Duke a second. So you get to watch that game and then watch Auburn-Duke right after it. So a great night of college basketball. We'll talk about that tomorrow, plus more signing day breakdown, college football playoff breakdown. Full guest tomorrow, Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, and also Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. Get them back on the show since we didn't have shows last Thursday. It was Thanksgiving. Crazy, it's been a week already, huh? All that coming up tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.